songs fitting in with the message tonight. I trust you will. And if I have time and I think of it, I'll refer to some of them a little bit. But turn in your Bibles for right now to the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, number 12 here, right in the beginning, so all, again, the kids could find it in their Bibles. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, as we're looking at Exodus chapter 12, for the portion for right now here. Okay, follow along as I read from verse 1 of Exodus chapter 12. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast with fire, its head with its legs, and with the inward parts thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. So that's a little bit of reading that we're going to do for the moment. This is a story I'm sure that has been in the Sunday schools a lot. What would you think that this might be over here? Huh? I heard something, but I don't know what. Lamb stew? Okay. Well, since you answered, Tim, come on up here. You can help me out a second. This is a bowl here, and I've already taken and killed the lamb, and that represents the blood of the lamb. So what were they supposed to do? And you could take and do that. Go ahead. Okay, so you can take that blood out there. I'll let you tape it up there. So it stays up there. Okay, boys and girls, is he doing the right thing? Is he supposed to put it there, or is he supposed to put it back on the windows back there? Is it at the right location? Huh? Not particularly. Why? This is the outer door to Tim's house. Okay. It's to the house, it's not to the windows. Okay, thanks, Tim. But that's where the blood had to be applied, on the outside of the door. It wouldn't do you much good if it was on the inside, because, you know, we can't see it. And so I'm glad that they pointed that out, that it wasn't on the windows back there as a window. It's on the doors, on the door, and it's on the outside. And so it's a story that we're quite familiar with, probably, and I've heard it before. But as I was thinking more about it, I was thinking about the fact, is that all that they had to do? Okay, they had to be ready to go. Is that all they had to do? They had to eat it. So, as we get to the story, the things that we kind of remember, this is the ending of the story that we kind of remember, but as we read through there, there's some other things that I'd like to emphasize again as I looked upon it, that they had to take and do before they got to this point, sometimes that we might forget about and think about. First of all, was this Moses and Aaron's idea? No, it wasn't. It came right from the Lord. It says in verse 1, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. And so the location that they were at was in the land of Egypt. We hear from time to time different things about Egypt. I don't know if you hear much about this story at all, of what had happened in Egypt. They try to take and make out about the pyramids and other things, but whether they actually have this and talk about this, I don't know. But anyways, in verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, and then in verse 3, it says, speak unto all the congregation. So I'm giving this message to you, and you're to take and speak for me. You're to be my spokesperson to the people. And so it was not from just Moses and Aaron. It was from the Lord himself. And he takes and sets up his calendar. Again, perhaps I didn't notice this as much, but it says in verse 2, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And so this is how your year is supposed to start, with this month. This is an important month for you. This is how you will start your year, with this month right now. Or at what day? The 14th day, very good. The 14th day, Valentine's Day, right? Well, not quite. This is a little bit like March or April, I guess, but it's the 14th, but they were supposed to get ready on the 10th and have until the 14th to take and get it ready. And how were they supposed to take and do it? Okay, again, according to the instructions that were given to them to give to the people, it says back in verse 3, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And so they're supposed to have a lamb per house. But as you read through this, it sounds like they were supposed to be a little bit more exact and try to figure what they needed. Because it says that if the household be too little for the lamb, in verse 4, let him and his neighbor next to unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall you your count for the lamb. So in other words, as you take account of how many people you've got and the size and how much they probably would eat at everything, you're supposed to do a little preparation and try to figure out how much you're going to need. And in the event that you had some left over, what happens to that? Burn with fire. Okay? But they were supposed to, it seems like, try to take and do a little planning and getting the right amount that they needed as best they could. And so perhaps we didn't notice that before. I didn't notice it. But then it does say in verse 6, it says, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So on the 14th day of the month, it's the first month of the year for them, they're to take and kill this lamb, every one of them, in the evening. And then as they take and make it ready, it says they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts in verse 7 and on the upper door posts of the house wherein they shall eat it. So there's the that part of it. But how they were supposed to prepare it, again, we may sort of gloss over it again. It says, again, in verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread. And so it wasn't supposed to be just done any old way. It says, in fact, in verse 9, eat not of it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roast with fire. Emphasize being roasted with fire. And so they had to do that, had to eat it with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And what were they supposed to eat? Well, they're supposed to, it looks like all of it, because it says with the head, with the legs, and with the inward parts thereof, and they were supposed to eat all of it. Let nothing remain until the morning, and that which remaineth, as we said, shall be burned with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, as Gail mentioned, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So this was how they were supposed to take and get this lamb that we didn't talk about yet, as far as what kind of qualities the lamb was. But they were told how to take and count, make a count for it, how to take and prepare it, how to take and eat it all. And supposing, I was thinking, they didn't do that. Normally we just sort of think, well, let's say they got the right lamb. And if you go back to what the lamb had to be in verse 5, it says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. So that's the lamb that had to be. So suppose you get that lamb and you get your bowl of blood so that you can put it on a post and you do that, but you don't do these other parts. So as I was thinking about that, what would happen? What would happen if the blood wasn't on the post? Boys or girls, and the boys or girls. What would happen if the blood wasn't on the doorpost like this? Any of the boys and girls can answer that? Yep. What? I can't quite hear you. The firstborn son, what would happen? Would die. Okay. That's what would happen for the people that were Egyptians and also the Israeli people. But they could be delivered from that if they took and had this. But it also seems that they had to do the rest of this as well, too. If they didn't do that, what would happen to them? I don't know. It doesn't tell us in His Word that, well, if you boil this, for instance, but you put the blood on, something else is going to happen to you. I don't know. I'm guessing that I think the people completely followed everything and didn't question it, because it says over here in verse 28, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, and so did they. And so I kind of feel that they all did what they were told. They all did get the right lamb. They all took and cooked it the right way. They all ate it the right way. They did everything that God asked them to do besides putting that on. And I'm sure that if they didn't do that, God could deal with the people for whatever reason, however He felt like it. They didn't have to worry about the Egyptian people. They were dealing with God. And so I was thinking about that a little bit, supposing they didn't do it. Because sometimes we might like to take and do it a certain way on the outcome, but we'd like to get there by a different way. There's another choice that we can make, another way to do it. And so I just thought about that for a little while there, as I was thinking of this portion, that if they didn't do it, what would happen to them? Right after they take and have this day of the Passover, let's read, continue with down in verse 15 for just a moment here. It says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. So there's two feasts here that are mentioned. I was getting them sort of mixed up a little bit, but you have on the 14th day the Passover that takes place. Then on the 15th day to the 21st day is this Feast of Unleavened Bread. And so again, for those 7 days, they couldn't have any leavened bread. It had to be unleavened bread. And what happened to them if they didn't have it? What does it say? They would be cut off. So definitely, if they didn't follow what God had given to them, judgment was going to happen. They would be cut off. So again, I say, I don't know what would happen if they didn't follow everything that God laid down before them from Moses and Aaron, but it would almost seem to me that because of all the things that were happening to them, they followed it to the letter, and so there was none that didn't do that. If they failed to put the blood on for sure, they would die. And so if they wanted to test God and say, well, give me another second chance, there is no second chance. And sometimes, again, people look, well, I made a mistake. Give me another chance, and then another chance, and another chance. Well, there's no second chances here when you're dealing with God if he sets down the rules like this. And so in some cases, he pronounced judgment, as he does with this second feast. But as you think about how this whole thing and the drama that's unfolding, again, let's just skip down to verse 21 and read about the account some more. It says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. Now that's not a piece of hyssop over there. It's just sort of like an applicator, a sponge. But the idea, I think, is the hyssop can hold a lot of liquid. And so a sponge certainly can hold a lot of liquid. And so you can use that to put the application on there. And so you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood. That's the lintel and the two side posts. Okay. None of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. Very strong warning. Don't dare go outside. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not permit the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. And so this is how the people of Israel could be delivered. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. It shall come to pass when ye come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. Just want to pause here a minute. I was talking about a little bit before about how they were supposed to take and get enough lamb for the people that they had to take care of. In the earlier part of the chapter, they were supposed to have a lamb according to the number of people that they had. So that was what people could do. According to what their means were, they were supposed to have it. But what is the means that God has at his disposal? It says, and it came to pass in verse 25 again, when you come into the land which the Lord will give you according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this service. His bank is much, much huger, and he's promised to do it, and so he's going to do it according as he hath promised. So I just thought the comparison between what we had to take and be prepared and what he's prepared to do for us on the return is there's no comparison there. Verse 27. That ye shall say it is the sacrifice of the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry, in verse 26. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? So it's interesting that they would take and, you know, ask the questions, because they weren't necessarily right there eyewitnesses on the scene. That ye shall say it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed their head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And so here's an account of what they were supposed to do, given the instructions and some other information to add to the information that they had before already. And so did it happen? Well, in verse 25 it says, and it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, until the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Pretty awesome. Not one dead. Every house had one that died, that had a family with a firstborn. Thinking about how tragic that must have been, I mentioned this morning that I had this letter from Pearl Winterburn that Lad Horn had given to me, And I didn't want to take and read it because of what it has in there, but she talked to me after, Mrs. Horn, Ethel Horn, and said that she's back over in Canada because I guess she took and fell and broke her hip, like, and so they got her, and Spikey saw her for a little bit, and then she was able to get back over to Canada. She's over in Canada, but she gives us this thing that she found out as to what was going on. There's been problems between some of the tribes over the years here, and they've caused trouble. It says, on August the 5th, 2002, with no warning, hordes of bloodthirsty Lendo and their allies swept down on Nyankundi, shooting and killing and so forth. It says in here, she puts on there, one report spoke of blood flowing down the center sidewalk of Nyankundi Hospital. And so as you think about maybe this scene, here's another scene where a lot of blood, but as bad as what this has in it, because she says there's like hundreds and thousands of people killed, I guess, over there through these people, this to me still would have been even worse. And so to get the feel of there was not one that was not dead because of his judgment that he exercised, and yet the people were delivered. And so the important thing, one of the important things is to realize is that we can be delivered. The application would be is, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you received that gift that he's given to make it possible that you don't have to take and go to hell and that you can be delivered and have everlasting life? And so one application from this message tonight would be that, is that you would accept that offer of salvation that he gives. So as Jason gave, only believe. I trust that that might be a consideration of your thoughts tonight. The drama actually started real before that. Let's back up to chapter 10 of Exodus and just read a little bit more about how how the drama just built up even to the point of chapter 12 there. Starting at chapter 10 and verse 21. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. I don't know what that kind of darkness was like, darkness that you could feel. He had an opportunity to take, and I've shared this before, being in a cave, small cave where we went downstairs. Of course, it wasn't warm. It was sort of cool, but they just said, don't move, and just we'll shut the lights off. And it was the first time that I saw what really darkness was really like, and it was a really scary kind of a feeling. I remember my parents taking me there, and you could put your hand in front of your face, you just can't see it. And so if this darkness is darkness that can be felt, it must just go right through you. But that's what they had to deal with, the Egyptians. So again, do they record this? Do they tell about this? I don't know in their history of some of these different things that happened. It says in verse 23, they saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And so again, it's the awesome power of what God can do. Normally, the blessings, sometimes we feel that sometimes the blessings flow to unsaved people and we get shortchanged as Christians. And so God does take and let the rain fall equally on everybody, but he can take and alter that. And here's a case where he's used his power to alter that. So the children of Israel had light, while these others felt this darkness. And so this was towards the end of the thing. And as we go into from there, it says, and Pharaoh, in verse 24, called unto Moses and said, go you, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be left behind. Let your little ones also go with you. So you might think, well, finally we got something that we can deal with in negotiation. We'll take that. Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice unto the Lord your God. Our cattle also shall go with us. So that's not a good enough deal. You might, okay, we can get out of this under the judgment. This is not a good enough deal. There shall not a hoof be left behind, for therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not what with what we must serve the Lord until we come there. Not acceptable, Pharaoh. We've got to take everything. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. Pharaoh said unto him, get thee out from me. Take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. Do you think he was kidding? Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. And then in chapter 11, the first three verses are sort of like a parenthesis there, so we'll skip down to verse 4 as it continues on the account. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant who is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beasts. And there shall be a very great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall there be like it any more. And that's the reason why I say, even in this letter, the massacre that took place can't be like this according to God's word. This had to be really awesome as far as what had happened and affecting many people. But Pharaoh is warned of what's going to take place. And so he was without excuse to know what was going to take place. Notice verse 7 as we continue on. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast. Now I said before that if they didn't keep, in chapter 12, if they didn't do everything that they were supposed to do, including doing that, I don't know what the judgment would have been if there was a judgment. But they had to deal with God on that part of it. If they didn't do the thing right, you couldn't use the Egyptians to take and punish you. So the Israelites didn't have to fear the Egyptians at all. The punishment would come from God himself, because it says here, but against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast. In other words, there was not going to be anybody that was going to hurt the Israelite people. They were his people. They were that protected. You had to take and deal with God as far as any judgments goes. Why? That you may know how the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And so again, for us as believers, do you know that there is a difference between us and the world? There has to be, because of what he has done for us. And does the world know that difference as well? Something for you to think about. Verse 8, and all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. That doesn't mean Moses went out in great anger. It means that Pharaoh was in great anger over this whole situation of what he had said. He's telling them, you're going to have people bow down to me. Did that happen? Well, let's look over at verse 30 again. And Pharaoh rose up in the night of chapter 12, I should say. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. So this could have been the servants doing this, although it seems to imply that it was Pharaoh doing this. But according to verse 8, it says, and all these servants shall come down unto me and do this. So you can take it from there as far as actually who was there telling Moses, but they did what he said, whether they liked it or not. And so then we have the portion in chapter 12. And so the drama that leads up to this is they were warned in advance of what was going to happen. God had took over the different plagues and tried to speak to the different people. What do you learn? That God, when he says something, he likes you to obey it. So you need to know about salvation and accept that offer of salvation. Once you accept it, you need to realize about obedience and take and follow when he says different things, because he means what he says. And it says in chapter 12, verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods. And we might think that the world doesn't have a God or doesn't worship God. Well, they might not worship the one that we would worship, but they have gods. And so that he is against as well, too. It says both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And so you can be sure that he did that. Whether it's recorded in their history, I'm not sure. It would be interesting to find out if they would have that this stuff accounted for, but probably not. They'd probably sort of skip over some things that they don't want you to know about or what is actually taking place. But that's what the Lord did. And so this portion is got a little special place in the life of the Israelite people. And we would say, well, okay, so that's for them. Well, let's turn over to Luke chapter. Before we do that, let's go to Numbers just a minute here. Just Numbers 21. So the Lord delivered these people. If they put the blood on the doorpost, they were delivered miraculously. They had to be in haste. They had to be, imagine, you know, normally when we take and like to eat, sometimes I like to eat with my shoes off, and comfortable clothing, relaxed mode. Not them. They had to have their clothes all on, their shoes on, had to eat it real fast so they'd be ready to go, because when they were going, he sent them right out. So they were sent out, but now look at the people as I've read this before here a little bit ago. Numbers 21, verse 5. And people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many people of Israel died. Were they given a second chance? Didn't have an opportunity. They died on the spot. But some of them still lived. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon the pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of bronze, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld that serpent of brass, of bronze, he lived. Did everybody do that? Those that were bitten, did everyone believe that and look on the pole? I would say that was probably more. They had a second chance and probably still didn't look on that pole and died. There was others that were saved. And again, we have much information sometimes, and yet we don't take and make use of it for our own good. Luke chapter 22. In the earlier part of the chapter there, verse 7. Luke 22 and verse 7 says, then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. Remember, there's the Passover. That's the first day on the 14th is unleavened bread. And then there's right after that, the 15th to the 21st day of unleavened bread as well, too. This is referring to the Passover. And he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover for us that we may eat. And so again, it was supposed to be kept forever. And so they kept all this down through here, and they were going to do it as well. And they said unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare it? And he said unto them, behold, when you enter into this city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the owner of the house, the master saith unto thee, where is the guest room, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said. It's surprising. They found as he had said. And they made ready for the Passover. And so the thing that happened way back in the Old Testament is brought into the New Testament, still keeping it down through the generation to generation, even with the Lord here. And he says in verse 14, and when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. All that we went through, why eat the Passover? Because of their deliverance. If they took and put the blood on the doorpost, they were delivered right then. But they were also delivered for the future as well, too. Just like us, if we receive the Lord Jesus Christ right now, we're saved right now while we're living, but we have a future to look forward to. If you don't accept that salvation of this back then, there was no tomorrow. There was no future. So it's for now and for the future, and just like us. And so with the Lord, he said, I have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, because it has a great deal of significance. It talks about me. It says, for I will... It doesn't say that right in here, but that's what the implication is. For I will say unto you, I will not any more eat of it until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of that fruit of the vine until thy kingdom of God shall come. So did Passover continue? Well, right here, I think he ended it right there. It says, I'm not going to take and do this anymore. You're supposed to do this forever. But it's going to end right here with me. I'm not going to do it until that time later on. Until it says it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God, or until the kingdom of God shall come. And so he replaced that Passover with himself. And furthermore, for us, he went on to say in verse 19 and 20, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. And so if we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, he wants us to continue on observing something. We don't have to observe the Passover. We can read about it, understand it. The application is that he's the Lamb, and he's the one that took our place. And so the observance that he wants us to keep until he comes back is to take and remember him as we do each Sunday morning. And so the application is for us for salvation, to take now and forever, to take and be obedient, and to take, and if that's obedience, that's to take and be in here with the worship time and remembering him, even as he has asked us to do. And so I just have these thoughts here for tonight. Jason had this Complete in Thee. He had that song, an excellent one, Only Believe. He has a mighty hand there, and certainly you can see that through the people of the Israelites, how he demonstrated his mighty hand. So we have an awesome God to take and serve even today, even like they did. Maybe you have lessons to learn as well, too, and sometimes they might be hard lessons to learn, but we trust that the Lord will bless your life as well, as he's blessed many other people. We can really depend on him. Jason, maybe you'd like to just close our time in prayer, and then whatever they're going to do next, we'll find out there.